This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. What lives within the wetlands of the Great Lakes? Western Michigan University Biological Sciences Professor Tiffany Schriever has been researching those habitats along with her students. She will be one of the presenters at Western Michigan University's Spring Convocation on Tuesday, March 26th at the Fetzer Center. Tiffany Schriever, thank you for being here.
Good morning.
So what got you interested in studying the biodiversity of wetlands and ecosystems?
Well, that starts way back from undergraduate, taking courses near the Mississippi River and learning about the backwaters and back channels and wetlands of Mississippi River there.
The Mississippi River, where, which states were you in?
In Minnesota. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the wetlands specifically here in Michigan, when I moved here, I needed a new system to study and happened to go to the coast one day and looked on the other side of the dunes, not just the beach side, and saw these really cool, incredible little ecosystems. And I wanted to know more about them and figured from the digging within the literature, there's not much known about them. So I thought, well, then I'll learn about them.
Did that surprise you in some way that there was maybe this vacuum of research out there and that you had a chance to fill it?
It did, because there's a lot of research on coastal wetlands, but the research is centered around larger coastal wetlands that are directly linked to the lake itself, that have a direct water connection. These interdunal wetlands are small, and they have no surface water connection to the lake, and therefore they've just been sort of overlooked.
So give us the mechanics here. How do you actually go about investigating? What's the research? Is it you and students going out and just sort of doing in the fields research work, try to, you know, actually go down there with tools and stuff to try and find what's there?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing that. I have a crew of 4 graduate students and usually anywhere from 2 to 3 undergrads that go and help out. And you just walk the trails down to the wetlands, and we have dip nets and water chemistry measuring equipment, survey equipment, and collect our macroinvertebrates and amphibians and all the water quality data. So it's fun. They're long days out in the sun and the wind, but they're beautiful, and it's quite easy.
How much variation is there in habitats that may even be very close together? Do we find a lot of different things living in these areas, even if there are relatively close?
Yeah, so we've looked at the invertebrates and the insects that live within the wetlands, as well as amphibians and reptiles. And you have wetlands that are out in the open dunes, so very little trees, little vegetation. And then you have wetlands that can be less than 200 meters away in the more forested areas on the back dunes, and the species composition within those two wetlands can be strikingly different. There'll be no amphibians or no salamanders at all in the open dune wetlands, but they'll be out there in the forest, and the insect communities are extremely different. You have different predator compositions in both of those wetland types. So they're both having different functional roles and different species compositions, even though they're very close to each other.
Do you think you have a good idea of what explains that variation, or is your role just simply to try to collect the data of what is where?
Sure. No, our research is trying to do both describe the diversity that is in these wetlands and try to understand what's maintaining that diversity. And what's maintaining that is different environmental factors, both locally within the wetland themselves, water chemistry, pond size, water depth, and then at a larger spatial scale along the entire eastern coastline of Lake Michigan. And so that's about 4 degrees of latitude and over 500 miles. And so you have a really big gradient in temperature and precipitation, which can be driving larger diversity patterns that we see.
So there's a lot of things that it seems could change the composition of wetlands close to the shore of Lake Michigan. What are some of those things that you have to account for?
Sure. So the interdunal wetlands that are closer to the shoreline, of course, are influenced by wind. They're influenced by the dune stabilization. So any changes within the dune ecosystem is going to change the wetlands themselves. And so changes that we see on the dunes all the time might be development. that change the dune patterns. Beach, it's not called combing. It's when they bulldoze the beach to try to make a wider beach.
Okay.
Well, if they take away some of the dune, you're actually changing the way the wind moves across that dune ecosystem. And the wind is what's pushing the sand to create the dunes, which makes the blowouts, which then the pond forms within those blowouts. So any changes within the dune ecosystem directly influence the wetland ecosystems that are there.
We have come through a winter where we had some very cold temperatures. We had some heavy snow.
Sure.
Can the harshness or the mildness of the winter also impact what you ultimately find when you head out, presumably in warmer weather, to investigate dune wetlands?
Right. We can go out after the ice is out. I would say that these habitats are harsh in their own way, regardless of how the winter is. You know, they have to be... the animals that live in them have to be able to deal with that freezing of the wetland. They have to deal with it maybe even drying in the summer and that those high wind patterns. And so most of the organisms that live in them have unique adaptations that allow them to withstand the extreme conditions. Of course, anomalies in climatic conditions create problems that maybe are unforeseen.
You did mention some things like, you know, development projects moving in. Would you say human activity then is more likely to influence the findings and the composition of dune wetlands than any particular variation in weather pattern?
Sure. So human activities are usually very drastic and very quick, and basically they would remove the wetland themselves, which would have a very strong impact instantaneously. Climatic patterns are going to take longer time for us to see some big changes.
Do these coastal wetlands give us some idea of what's going on more broadly in the Great Lakes region?
I would say they can, because they help us understand the diversity that we have in this very unique ecosystem that's along the Lake Michigan. So the diversity that we see is in smaller wetlands, and globally, small wetlands take up the vast majority of wetlands that we have. So changes to wetland policy that only allow us to conserve the most largest or the largest wetlands is troublesome, because any scale you look at, the vast majority of wetlands available in the landscape are small and are unregulated.
Can long-term research in this area tell us something about climate change and perhaps the long-term shifts in climate around the Great Lakes and in Michigan?
I think this research can, long-term research can, because it tells you about the phenology or the life cycle of the organisms living within these environments. So phenology is the timing of those life cycle events, like budding of trees, the bud burst in spring that we're going to see here shortly. Animals have these same life cycle events. So when they emerge from the aquatic environment and become part of the terrestrial environment, happens at a predictable time. You change temperatures, you change climatic patterns, that timing of emergence will also change. And that affects the organisms that eat those insects that fly out of those wetlands, birds, bats, spiders, all of them.
Is this the sort of thing that you do need to have a little specialization for knowledge? Or is this the sort of thing that if a citizen scientist, which we've heard a lot about, had an interest in, they might be able to contribute to the research?
I think citizen science can make a great headway in understanding the phenology and understanding diversity within our backyards, basically. People go out there all the time. And if you go out there on a regular basis, you're going to notice these changes. You just need to record them.
So we are getting close to spring.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have plans yet for getting out and looking around Lake Michigan soon?
Definitely. We'll start in April, weather permitting, to go out and start sorting or sampling the wetlands again for life that comes out early in the spring.
And how long do you normally stay out there?
Each given time. it takes about an hour to sample each individual wetland. And we have about 40-some wetlands scattered from Indiana Dunes all the way up to northern lower peninsula of Michigan. And so each month we go out there and sample them. And it takes a couple of days to do all of them in one trip.
What's the northernmost point that you reach?
We went up to Wilderness State Park and looked at intertidal wetlands up there. So that's the farthest we've gone this year. Two of my grad students are going to expand their study and look to see if there are any more intertidal wetlands in the islands on the lake, as well as go over to the Wisconsin side, see up there, and up into the UP to find more wetlands.
And do you normally have a target date for when you want to be wrapped up by, or is it just dependent on when winter truly begins?
Yeah, it usually wraps up around October when we're getting really busy with schoolwork again and classes and all, because these are students as well and I'm teaching. But usually October, it gets cold enough that your fingers aren't operating that well out there in the wetlands too. So we usually cut the sampling off late October.
Tiffany Schriever is a professor of biological sciences at Western Michigan University. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. It was fun being on.
Tiffany Schriever will be one of the presenters at Western Michigan University's Spring Convocation on Tuesday, March 26th at the Fetzer Center. You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple iTunes and Google. There you can also leave a rating or write a review. You can also find interviews at our website, WMUK.org, and through the WMUK app. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.